Street View Podcast is part of the Dallas Public Library's Homeless Engagement Initiative, dedicated to increasing community awareness of issues related to homelessness. The opinions expressed are solely those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dallas Public Library or the City of Dallas.
How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? You got it all figured out, straight from your cubicle. Life's a musical, maybe a carousel. How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? Perception starts with selection. The same streets you walk on, they carry their own view. This is Street View.
As always, y'all, let me pray. Father God of heaven, thank you for time, for energy. You give us time and energy in this life, God, and you prepare us for life. You came down, you walked amongst us. Gave us some of your time and some of your energy. Thank you. Thank you for love. Thank you for peace amongst all mankind. Thank you for the good things and the righteousness that is still happening, even though we don't see it every day. And even though we want to focus on complaining and whining and crying, thank you for bringing us together as a family and allowing us to take the time out to nurture one another. We thank you for Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is Rashad Anthony Dickerson, the Street View Podcast host. I was looking in the D Magazine, and they called me a street preacher, probably because I pray so much. Anyway, what we got going on today is we have what we call a host session. This is a family session. We're going to sit back. We're going to talk about the whole team, the whole squad. We're going to talk about people who have been influential, who have been the nuts and bolts of this thing. And we're going to sit back, talk to Jasmine. We're going to talk to Ann. We're going to talk to Ryan. We're going to talk to Antoinette. We're going to talk to the family, man.
I just want to say thank you for being here, Rashad. I know you're not feeling well.
Shh. Don't tell people that.
It's okay. It makes you human.
Yes.
Aren't you all about that?
Well, sometimes. Sometimes I like to see myself as something. It's something more than just what people see. More than just the physical thing, manifestation. I think we all have a spiritual part. And that part continues to push me to thrive, to go on, even when I'm, you know, the man with no arms, or, you know, even when I'm the man with no legs, I can keep going. So I'm going.
This process is not easy on any of us, and that to make it happen, for us all to come together is important. It's so important to all of us that you're going to come from your slumber at the bridge and come straight here early to let us know that you're not feeling well, and then still let me convince you to stay so we can do this.
And put me in this.
And put you in a fun frou-frou sweater.
Yeah, y'all out of line for this. It's cool.
It is very soft, so I feel like the snuggle bear. It's cool.
It's cool. A really pretty color, and
it really brings out your eyes.
Stop it.
Y'all need to cut it out. No, it's all good, man. You know, thank you. Or rather than just be impersonal, send you a message and say I'm not coming, I'd rather show up and see if I have the strength or the willpower to continue on, to do something that's going to help somebody else. It's my job. I've been called street preacher. That's what we do.
Not everybody does that. Not everybody.
Y'all do it. Y'all go out of y'all way. The library does, right?
I mean, I think everyone in this room certainly does it. And I think it's, but it's not everyone. And I think it takes that. It takes that commitment and that belief in what you're showing up to do. And showing up is half the battle. I learned that when I was young. I used to flake on everything. For some reason, growing up, we were just commitment freaks. Like, we would say, oh, yeah, we're going to come to your party this weekend. You know, I'm talking like fifth grade, right? Like, I would tell, oh, yeah, we're going to your party. And then it'd be like the day of, and my sister and I would look at each other and be like, there was just this like anxiety. Like, we'd committed to it, but that's just too much commitment. Like, we're just not going to go. We're just not going to show up. I spent the better half of the beginning of my life just not showing up. And I realized that showing up is half the battle. Like, you don't even have to be the most, you know, conversational person at the party. You don't even have to be the best employee at work. Just showing up is already half the battle. Just show up. And you'll feel better afterward knowing that you did, because you said you would. Yes. And then you did.
Miguel Ruiz has a book called The Four Agreements. And one of the things is always do your best. And so showing up, yeah. And doing the best that you can do is A1. If you can do those two things, you'll never be upset with yourself. You'll never be regret what you do.
Well, I think not just the fact that we've been showing up, but that we're so dedicated, I think that just is proof of what has been created here, how much it has meant. And this, we were talking about this before we started, how much it means to all of us, the creation and what it's doing for other people. So I think it's just pretty.
And I think we kind of surprise ourselves, right? I think every new adventure you decide to take on brings out something new and different in, within you. It's not that you amaze yourself, but to a certain extent, it's like, oh, I didn't know I could do this, or I didn't know this was important to me. And wow, this is like I get to discover a different part of myself. I mean, I've learned so much about Ryan and Anne and, of course, you, Rashad. I mean, just in this process, I feel like we're all closer. I'm amazed by you guys all the time. I probably don't say it enough, but I'm amazed. Ryan will work on this podcast and edit at home on his day off at night till whatever time in the morning it takes. And that means that not only is Ryan, you know, have really great work ethic, but that he cares, like this is important to him, and that maybe this process of making this podcast has done something inside Ryan and made him realize something about himself and that he believes in, and that he knows that looking back, he's going to be really proud of this. And the same with Anne, and not just the podcast with Anne, but Anne has been amazing at taking this idea and running with it and really honestly embodying it and finding other ways to engage our customers, not because it's her job, but because there's something inside of her that says, this is important to me, and maybe I didn't realize that before.
Well, I've seen how it has changed others, not just getting to know people, you know, through AmeriCorps, fabulous AmeriCorps, but through the programming, how it has changed others and how it has changed me, and that just makes me want to do even more. I'm getting to know myself and the community in a way that I never have before, and it's changing all of us. So yes, I want to do more and more and more.
But like genuinely, you genuinely want to do more.
It's fun.
And it comes through in what you do.
It's fun. It's interesting. I'm meeting people that I, you know, probably would not have, you know, talked that much with. I mean, that was mentioned in the first podcast, you know, if you two would ever talk to each other. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's more or less really overcoming the stereotypes and stigmas. It always has been for me. You know, I got any and everybody is placed into some type of category. But the fun thing about a human being is that a human being has the capability and the ability to be anything they want to be. One of the things that upsets me now as I live day to day is, as a young man or as a young child, I was told, what do you want to be when you grow up? You can be anything. And then when I grew up, I would begin to tell people, I want to change the world. And they say, you can't do that. And so the thing about the human beings is we have that capability to be anything we want, to do anything we want. And I think going into different plateaus or going into different domains and discovering new things about ourselves and humbling ourselves enough to say, okay, there might be an alternate perspective. That is what is so great about being human.
And when you have a chance to explore that and to realize that, because that's something you can say and know, but to feel that you've realized that within yourself, like that's totally different.
Chris said on the second one, he said, I could be dressed in a tuxedo and still be homeless. I think, and we asking questions, we lent to the thought that it's fun to be homeless. I think that's part of it for a homeless man or a homeless woman or a outdoor individual, is that you do have a James Bond flow. You dig? Like a James Bond type of feel where you have that ability to be who you want, when you want. The problem, though, generally is consistency. If you don't have a consistency towards a specific goal and a set of objectives, you'll never reach what you actually want in life. So some people stay in their James Bond type mode where they can be who they want all the time. That's who they are. But then they never have the same consistency. And looking at other individuals, they desire that. They desire it. I mean, I desire a boxer and a dog and a Jeep and an apartment. But, you know, I'm James Bond right now. I can leave here and go swap clothes and walk somewhere else and be somebody totally different. But I have to have a consistency and objective. I think that, but to me, that being mundane to the homeless, like
boring? You're saying consistency can be boring?
Yes.
And then it's more exciting to have things change all the time.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Some people would call that schizophrenia.
ADD. ADD. I mean,
bipolar.
But, well, yeah, just kind like of kind of craving that rush. I mean, I think it has, it manifests itself differently in different people. But I know that in the first episode, you did say that sometimes being homeless can be fun. And I know that other people I've talked to from the outside, they've listened to that. And I think that really threw a lot of people off. And I don't think it's not an accurate blanket statement either. I mean, it's not fun for everybody, and it's not fun all the time.
No, nothing's fun.
But
all
I think
the time.
That I think it's that there is a certain sense of freedom that can come with living your own life, how you choose to live it, and whether that means you go to a church to find food because you want to, you don't want the constraints. And there's that kind of homeless person. Not everyone's that kind of homeless person, though.
No, they are different. Like, one of the things about me that I've focus on is that I don't like asking. I won't ask you for money on the streets. I'll ask God, and then I'll eat, and then I'll say, hey, well, God's for real, because I didn't have to ask a human. I've asked him and I've eaten. Doesn't mean I'm not being fed by a human. Understand what I mean? The shelter is providing food for me, but somebody had it in their heart and in their mind to be charitable and give to North Texas Food Bank. And I now am a recipient of that charity. It's biblical too. It's one of the greatest things in the Bible that I talk about is love. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He talks about charity. Charity is patient, is kind, is long-suffering. Charity never fails. Where people have prophecies or give these predictions on how they think things will go, those things will fall and fail. But when love, what charity is, it won't ever fail. It won't ever fall off kilter. There'll always be charity. There'll always be love. And I'm a recipient of that love. And that's why I'm here. When you ask, well, what would, you know, Rashad, you sick, dude, why are you here? I'm here because it's the love that I receive, I give. I once heard Paul McCartney say, the love that you give is equal to the love that you receive. So I keep going. I keep pushing. And it's not just me. It's Antoinette. It's, you know, Ryan. You know, like you talk about that dedication, that determination. You know, it's, you know, we go. We go because we want to give just as much as we receive.
What has surprised you the most about this process?
The word homeless and the stigma behind the word homeless is, it's horrible. And I think what happened with the podcast is we've changed people's perception with that. I mean, because like I'm looking in the D magazine and, you know, I see my picture and I'm like, local homeless guy podcast. And I'm saying to myself, well, the media could take a homeless individual, which was so downright dirty or filthy or, you know, negative, and bring it to a glorious type of position. It's not about Rashad. It's more about the perception that we have of homelessness. I think we've changed it. I think we've changed people's perceptions.
There's a lot of power in perception. And I think you're right. I think the media has a lot of influence on people's perceptions of things. And we do too. We influence our own perceptions of things. And I know for a lot of people who've talked to me after listening to some of the podcasts that it's not even necessarily that some of them had certain thoughts about the homeless. It's just that they almost didn't think too much about the homeless. And almost wonder what's worse. I don't know.
What took me by surprise was, and what my initiative was or is that individuals who are homeless would see in themselves the ability to be more or to be personified as worthwhile. Me being on both sides of the field, or what I would like to call like the bridge or the gap, the homeless feel isolated. Remember we talked about that? Well, they see, it's almost as if they're two different teams. It's almost as if we have a team of people. Like the homeless are a team of people and the housed are a team of people. But I think we created that stigma with that word.
But with that, I almost think, as much as there's a homeless community, I actually think that the homeless lack community, if that makes sense. I know that some of the first conversations I had with our customers here who are experiencing homelessness, one of the first things they would do is disassociate themselves from the mass. Like, oh, well, I'm not like those homeless guys. I work during the day and I do this and I'm not like them, or I don't come here and just sit around and do nothing all day. And there's like a need for almost every person I talk to disassociate themselves from that larger group, because I think even in their minds, it's not something they want to be associated with, and it's not something they personally want to label themselves as. But with that, if you don't build community among yourselves, then you lack an opportunity to really voice a unified voice to the rest of the community, if that makes any sense. Because, you know, I think about this and I think, okay, well, we're doing this podcast and how do we get this out to the homeless community? Well, there's got to be a more congealed community for us to do that easily. Otherwise, it's fragments here and there. And I think that you almost lose the potential to affect change when you're fragmented that way. And I think that's the case with the homeless. And I get that you don't want to be associated with a larger group of homeless because of those stigmas. But if we can change people's perceptions about those stigmas and then try to create a stronger community that can have a voice, then maybe things could change for them. And I think in a small way, we've started that with some of our homeless guests. And every time someone asks you, you know, like, has this message gone out to the homeless? Are they listening to the podcast? Yeah. And every time you say no, like a little piece of me dies. But I think it's true and it's not true to a certain extent, because it's an uphill battle trying to get this message out to more people, period. But I think about Kiki, I think about Chris, I think about Jason, I think about Shorty, I think about Don, I think about Leon, I think about Charlie Piano, and all those guys. They have been changed in whatever way that is for each of them individually as part of this process, and their voice has been heard. That alone is a success, and hopefully we'll get it out to more people. And I mean, I don't know what the next iteration of this looks like, and we'll talk about that more, but I think we can feel really proud of our engagement with those who have been part of this process and for those other thousands of people who've listened to the podcast.
Why is trying to suck me in, eh?
Well, I mean, I'm thankful and proud of you guys, because, you know, let's be honest, you're looking at the library being an establishment, being something that is made up of, I guess you'd say, organized thoughts and rules and regulations. And you also have the homeless who have no regard for that. And we have to find like a medium to that. You guys took the initiative to bring AmeriCorps on. And I mean, without Antoinette and DJ of the AmeriCorps members, there are a lot of homeless who never probably would have talked to us. I mean, because wherever you go, you have people who don't want to associate themselves with other types of people. So me being that guy, that nerdy guy, I guess you would consider, there's some dudes that's in the homeless community that don't want to talk to me. You also have guys that DJ would get in contact with out. I mean, I'd go out with him to the front and he'd be talking to a guy that I just, in my understanding, it's like, man, this dude is just, you know, I don't even want to get close to this dude, because he's that type of person that, in my perception, I might have made a judgment. But him and DJ are kicking it. They out there talking and rapping and having good conversation. I come in here, Antoinette's in here, and she's helping somebody fill out an application who's homeless. And not only that, I mean, you talk to Antoinette about this or that, and she's like, if I don't know it, I'll Google it. I'll find it for you, which is very, very fun, because you have somebody who says, I will get the information that you need. My intent is to help you. So at this time, I'd like to introduce y'all to Antoinette.
My name is Antoinette Carey Spriggs, and I am an AmeriCorps member who is stationed here at the Central Dallas Public Library as a resource coordinator, and they mean resource in every fashion of the word. Essentially, I go out and find different resources for homeless customers, anything that they may have questions about or might be curious about. I can find it if I don't already know it. Most of the time I do actually already know it. I do actually go out and sit down and we work together until whatever questions they have are resolved. It was actually kind of difficult for me to get some of our customers to open up to me. Every time I'd walk up, I get like a sideways glance or a hey, walk away from me. But eventually they started opening it up. I guess they started to see me just out there interacting and doing different stuff, and now people walk up to me, they give me hugs. I see people every day who go out of their way just to come say hi to me, and it really surprised me, because I'd sit and I'd see all of the love that our homeless customers have here. And I wanted to feel that embrace and the welcomeness. And once I finally got it, I was like, that's not something that I'm letting go of. So I keep coming back.
Do an excellent job. You and Anne sit side by side doing the art programs, doing the coffee and conversation. And it's very, very sensitive to me. And I want to say thank you on behalf of the homeless. What would you do as to remedy the situation of the way homeless think, of the way homeless act? Because in a sense, to me, I see that you're the individual just like I am. You're like, if we were a bridge, you were one of the planks. So what would you have to say to impact individuals and their perception of homelessness?
Well, I've always looked at homelessness from the standpoint of someone who wasn't homeless. I never thought about where I was going to sleep, because that was something that didn't concern me. But once I finally got the chance to sit down and talk to people who had experienced homelessness or are experiencing homelessness, I started realizing these are people just like me. They have the same concerns that I have. What am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to do it? Do I want to do it? Who do I need to talk to make this happen? I have this dream, I have this goal that I want to accomplish, but I have no one who can tell me how to make that happen. That was one of the first things that I had to overcome even before I started doing the resource coordination here at the library. Once you really sit down and remember that that's not a homeless person, that's a person with thoughts and feelings and needs that may not always be met, you start to realize that there's more to it than that. Homelessness isn't just not having a home. It's just a part of who that person is. And when you start to see that, you are more willing to embrace them and help them with whatever it is that they need and not look at it as us and them. It's a we. Well, Rashad, I actually do listen to this podcast. Yeah, I haven't missed one episode, and I've seen where it started from. Now that you've gotten this off the ground, where do you see it going?
I have no idea. To be honest with you, me and Jasmine were talking about asking the people if they would want this thing to keep going, because I don't have a problem with doing it. It's just that I do want a Jeep and a boxer and an apartment, and I want to get out of this situation that I'm in. And I feel like being somebody that's speaking and representing the homeless and not actually being homeless is much like a sham, too much like a fraud.
I don't think that you realize how much it impacts people. Most of the time I'm sitting over there listening to it. I even have customers who walk up and they hear it, and they're sitting there listening to it with me. And they're like, who is this guy that has so much insight into what we're going through and has taken the time out of his day to go and talk to the people who provide us with resources and just voice some of the things that we're feeling and dealing with on a day-to-day basis? I even have people who aren't necessarily homeless, but they come up to me and they see the flyers that we pass out and they're curious about it. So it's definitely bringing about the necessary attention that's needed to the situation so that we can resolve the way that people look at homelessness.
As a listener, what do you feel like you still want to hear about that you haven't heard about yet?
Honestly, everything that I've thought of as a concern has been kind of touched on in some way, shape, or form. I really appreciate the fact that the show does have both people who are experiencing homelessness and the people who are providing services to the homeless, so that they can both see how the services that are being provided are helping and how some of the restrictions that are coming about are affecting the customers who are using those services. I'd like to see that continue. I'd like for people to be able to engage and interact with each other, to continue to work together so that they can come together and figure out a way to not just provide the immediate needs, but the long-term ones as well.
I guess, you know, because we've touched on a lot of the basic issues. We've invited different people from different service providers. I'm sure there's 9 gazillion service providers out there doing different things. But maybe as we go forward, certainly continue to invite those people in. But, you know, perhaps maybe as initiatives and whatnot are introduced, maybe we can kind of follow up and just kind of see, you know, how successful have they been in reaching whatever their goals might have been. And so I don't know, that's kind of what I would like to see going forward.
Well, something that I just thought of, street view, I'd be interested in seeing it taken to the street, going outside onto the street during good weather, of course. But talking to people out on the street, I mean, getting to the people who may not be coming into the library, that, you know, have not been on the podcast. We can only have so many people participate in it. But just talking to, you know, a multitude of voices out there, I think that would be very interesting.
You know, what's funny is the church that I attend, I often have people ask me, well, what church do you attend? The church that I attend is actually right across from the library. They meet at like 4:30 in front of City Hall on the benches. And the guy who's preaching, the preacher is a man who was on the streets, an ex-crack addict, and has been coming out there faithfully. And there are so many people that come out there and get to say what they want to say. They get to experience the same family mode we talked about earlier, where you said you'd like to see people go to the streets. It's like people always ask me, I'd like for people to come to the church where we could have individuals who are homeless link up with the individuals who are in different church settings or different places in their lives, come sit right in front of City Hall, sit down and talk with the homeless, eat a couple of pieces of chicken and some hot sauce, and dip out. That's what we do every Sunday. I mean, that's what we do. I wouldn't have a problem with doing it, going to the streets. I don't know, though. You know, this is a little bit, like, for me, this is, like, right on the money. Because you got the cats that stand at West End all day with their microphone and their amp, and they're talking about Jesus. And originally, me and Jasmine went in, and she said, listen, you know, we're not going to make this a Sunday afternoon riding home from church type of feel. And I'm like, okay, I don't have a problem with that. So going to the streets is one thing. But I think this show, and this is the problem with continuing on with the show, is we don't want it to be too informative. It's been interactive. That's the whole key here. It's been not only proactive, but interactive with me and my personality, not 2D, but, you know, maybe 7 or 8D, and just talking to all of these people from both sides of that field. I like the idea, man. I really do, but I'm saying to myself, how do we go about doing it?
Well, and I think what you're going to find is, I love that idea, by the way. I do, because I think there's so many voices out there that are going to be different, and it's also another way of introducing the podcast series to them. I'd also love to figure out a way to get the podcast out to the people. But I think what we're going to find is, because I've been walking around with Rashad before outside downtown, and he'll tell people about the podcast and be like, I want you on the show. And they're like, no, dude, it's cool. I don't want to be on it. So I think you're going to get that a lot. I mean, you're going to get people who are just going to be like, what's going on? Who are you? And I don't really feel comfortable participating. But I think you might get enough people who are like, yeah, sure, what is this kind of thing? And I think it might be worth an episode at least.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking of, you know, it changing over to that. I think an episode or two. And another interesting thing would be asking people who are housed, asking them questions, bringing them into the conversation.
Maybe even some people who live downtown.
Yes.
Definitely, right? Because yeah. They're the most, I think their dislike of the situation is probably greater than anyone else's, because it's right outside their door. It's on their way home. It's at night when they're trying to, you know, go out on the town. They have to see the homeless person, and they have, I think, probably more opinions about it. But I know that I feel like we didn't talk to enough of the shelters. I feel like as an outsider, whether it's curiosity or just interest, I want to know what it's like in a shelter. Because from the tidbits I've heard from people, I talked to a guy who refused to stay at UGM, Union Gospel Mission, because all of the men have to shower naked together
within
a big room.
Within 30 minutes, too.
Within 30 minutes, and they all have to stand in a line and wait to get in butt naked. And I think people need to know those things. Because it's like, oh, why is that guy smelly? He could go take a shower at UGM. Well, screw you. Who wants to go take a shower with a whole bunch of other naked men and feel like they're in a prison? Or, I mean, that's, I don't know. I think there's certain things that happen in these shelters that I personally wouldn't find humane.
We call it the butt naked club. I mean, because what happens is you got two lockers, one above and one below, and you got about, in all, in total, probably like 500 lockers, and you have it in one room, and so you have guys are naked, and other guys are rushing to get in, and they're being touched by a naked guy. So, I mean, that's upsetting to some people, of course.
Yeah, and like the guys, Mitch and Tyrone, who stay at Austin Street Shelter. So Austin Street Shelter was the only shelter we actually interviewed on the show. And there's Salvation Army, there's The Bridge, there's Union Gospel Mission. And we never got them on. But you think about the older guys that stay at Austin Street, and I'm sure they would prefer to have their own shower at Austin Street than to stay at the All Men's Shelter at UGM, because not everyone's comfortable with that, and I don't think that's something you're supposed to be comfortable with. But it's also an eye-opening thing when someone has a problem with someone smelling like odor, yes, or BO or urine. Yes. There's more to that story.
Well, I mean, you say, well, I'd like to know more about the shelter life or what's going on inside of these shelters. I mean, pretty much the same thing that's going on out here. Only thing is there's a lack of resources.
I don't think it's the same.
You don't?
No.
Okay, I'll give you an example of what happened to me last night.
Please.
So last night I was in the shower singing it, you know, and I'm singing and I'm thinking, Jesus, thank you. And I'm, you know, prophesying and talking in tongues. And the guy says, hey, shut up. Hey, shut up. And I'm like, yo, man, what did I ever do you? He says to me, you're a nigger. And I look at him and I say, what if God didn't make you? And he says to me, God did make me. I said, man, God bless you. And I walk off. Now, granted, you know, different people are going to handle that in different ways. It's this perspective-driven sense of, I guess, you know, you choose right there. The decision-making right there in that moment is pivotal. And the same thing is out here. I mean, what happened, what's funny is the guy was an older white guy in a wheelchair. And I'm a young, strapping, young black man. And I say to myself,
what about humility?
Right. And
so
I say,
tongue-in-cheek.
And I say to myself, how do you handle that situation? How do you? But then again, you know, on the opposite end, again, it's a lack of resources. It's the same thing as out here. On the opposite end, I'm at work and my boss is like, yo, I need two people. And I'm like, I know some cats at this place that might be able to get you some cats. And I go up and I get two people from The Bridge. So they have that opportunity they didn't have before. Get to work. You know, but they have the mentality that they had at The Bridge. Maladaptive. You have different perspectives everywhere you go. And I mean, with the shelter, it's the same way.
I mean, I get that in terms of perspective or diversity. Sure. I will accept that being homeless and living in a shelter is similar to the rest of the world and that it is diverse. I think everything else is probably not. I mean, I don't have someone yelling at me when I'm in the shower because I have my own shower and my own house. And my husband knows better than to yell at me when I'm singing.
Right.
I love you, honey. he listens to every episode. But, you know, I don't think that, you know, Lizzie, I don't think Antoinette would fully be mentally prepared to check in at The Bridge and know what that process is like and have all my belongings, decided I can only have so much, and to sleep on a 3-inch pad next to another guy who's sleeping on a 3-inch pad who might be pissing his pants while he's sleeping, and it might smell that way, and the next guy on the other side of you might be coughing up who knows what. and you're in a very closed quarters in a, you know, somewhat climate controlled environment.
It's working. They got the AC. Oh my goodness, they got the AC. It feels like heaven.
I have so many questions about that. The sleeping quarters of the bridge were not climate controlled when they originally built.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure their offices were.
Absolutely.
So that I question, right? I mean, there are things like that that get me where I'm like, okay, I want to know more about this, because I think if people on the outside had a better sort of look into what that day looks like and what it feels like to be in that environment, I think it would certainly change their minds. And it could certainly change how we treat homeless people in the programs that we offer them.
So basically, you'd like to know about the practices, which ones are inhumane, in a sense?
Well, and I guess, you know, that's relative, right? I mean, I guess something that I and my first world problems would think is inhumane is totally different than it would be somewhere else. But yes. I think it could be better. And of I think course. If there were more advocates out there who said just because someone's homeless doesn't mean that they're going to get the bare minimum, that you wouldn't even, you would treat your dog better,
yeah,
right?
You would.
I think we could be more aware of that, and maybe we could be more of advocates for conditions being better.
You're absolutely right. One of the things that happens all the time over there is we complain, but we don't get answers. Like, I could say, you know, last night I had to use the bathroom, and I got to use the bathroom, and they swap the bathroom. Like, during the nighttime it's the women's bathroom, during the day it's male's bathroom. It's the only one with a shower right now because of the renovation that they're doing over there. And so, you know, you come out to the bathroom, there's only two outside bathrooms for individuals. And I go to the bathroom and it's like, I gotta pee. When I get there, you know, an individual has locked the door and they're smoking in there. So I gotta wait till they finish smoking, which is a policy that they, you know, that they go against. Don't smoke after a certain time. So I have to wait. That's just, you know, that's a part of a survival and being, I guess you would say, interconnected in a sense. In you know, in a community, we all have to suffer or have to, we all have to pay as a part of society. That the homeless thing is just that the bridge or any other shelter is just its own society. It's a different one from the one your reality is just a tad bit different. That's it. I mean, there are physical limitations to both of us. You know, there are guys over there, like I said, the guy was in a wheelchair. You know, there are many guys over there with canes and wheelchairs and walkers. They're the same thing out here.
Well, yeah, I think there are similarities. And, you know, I think me as a person and a listener and a human being, I don't really want to hear about specific things that, you know, wow, that is so different. That's upsetting. I don't like that. How can you do that? Right. And this is one reason why I mentioned taking it to the street. I want, and it's like what I, here at the library, you know, I am working, yes, but I am experiencing part of their lives in a very natural, organic way, observing, being a part of it. And I want to know what it's like, you know, the little things, big things, everyday things. And I think people hearing that and seeing that, we're not telling them this is bad, you know, they don't have these resources. We're not telling them that. It's something that they're experiencing, and they're coming to a realization. They're making decisions themselves.
Just as anybody, an opinion is very valid. Take it for what it's worth. If you want to know, you got to go after it. With the homeless, or with the whole set of homeless individuals, the thing about it is we are similar but different, only in that we're our own society. You want to know what's going on in that society, then come see. I'll be honest with you.
I don't think they'd let me into the shelter.
You don't?
They let us in with a, like, it has to be a scheduled tour, and it's very specific about the tours. But... Right. Yeah, I was going to say that. Well, in the book that I talk about in the first episode, the At Home on the Streets, the guys do. They worked with one of the shelters, and one of the guys does stay in a shelter because he wants to see, like, you know, because people criticize people who sleep on the street. And they're like, well, why are they on the street? They can go to a shelter. Well, hey, guess what? A shelter's not all, you know, roses and peaches and whatever. I mean, it's real. I've talked to other homeless individuals who compare it to prison. I've never been to prison. Yeah. But from what I hear and from what I can imagine, I think there's probably a lot more commonalities between a prison environment and the bridge than there is between my house and the bridge. Oh. And I'm not saying that I'm not necessarily in a place to say that there's a better way to do it. I can only believe that there's got to be a better way. And I feel like if we do anything that can change people's perceptions, but even just lend to a change in mentality of how we approach things, I think we just have, there's a lack of creativity in how to just approach things in life. We tend to just do what we're used to doing. And so a shelter is this way. Okay, we're going to do the shelter this way. Well, I mean, I know in the podcast, it's come up a lot as the Day Resource Center. And I feel like that's a little gem among these podcasts that keeps coming back up. And I think it says something. I don't know exactly what it says. I mean, it says certainly that the people felt like this was working for their needs. And it certainly says that the people who were running it felt like it was serving its purpose. I don't know that going back to the Day Resource Center model is the solution, but I think we have to think about why. Why is a Day Resource Center, why is that brought up so much in these podcasts from the homeless and from the agency representatives? And what did it have that could help change the landscape of homeless services in Dallas? Because the homeless, just like Wayne Walker says in that episode with Our Calling, is that poverty will always be among us. I believe the homeless, we will always have homeless individuals in urban areas across the country. It's not just Dallas. But I think we can change how we handle it in the city so that we're all a little more pleased with how it works. And I don't know what that looks like, but I think it's worth delving into that conversation.
First step to finding any kind of a solution is identifying the problem, you know, figuring out what it is that you're trying to even solve. And then maybe you can start looking at, well, what can we do to meet need X, and then proceed from there.
For some, it's housing, but I think for some others, they want the freedom of street life. So then they might smell because they don't have access to restrooms, they don't have access to laundering facilities, they don't have access to showers, or maybe they choose not to use those that they do have access to. But I feel like that's what society has the biggest problem with. It's the more superficial things. It's the smells and what you look like. If you had a shelter where part of the process, you get to sleep in a nice bed, but you're required to take a shower every day, wear these nice new clothes, and you have a bathroom and you have a laundering facility there, and you just sleep there every night, but you get to do whatever you want during the day, like it pretty much is with the shelters. Well, then the people who live downtown, the people who come to the library, they're not going to know the difference, right? Nope. You're the nice smelling, you know, well-dressed homeless guy. Because that's I think those are the aspects that divide us the most. Those are the aspects that house people have the biggest problems with, is that dude smells. If that dude didn't smell and he was dressed well, but he was still talking to himself, well, that could just be like someone else's uncle. I mean, right? We all got people who abuse drugs in our families or in our networks. We all have people who are mentally ill. We all have people with some tragedy in their life that's got them, you know, dysfunctional. I mean, we all do, except they don't smell bad and they tend to clean their clothes or someone does it for them.
Well, that's the thing about what you proposed. You proposed something that requires service. And we as society require that individual service themselves. That's what we do here. I mean, whichever society you're in, you have to service yourself. And I mean, to me, that's the point of being self-sufficient. You get to a point where you have to service yourself. Everybody's not in that same mindset. I'm not always. Before we started the podcast, I wasn't in that mindset. Before I went to college, I didn't know the word autonomy, what that meant, nor self-sufficiency. Well, self-sufficiency I learned from the bridge. The things that the bridge offered to people, and I'll be honest with you, I'll be cut and dry. Here's the gist of it. It's either you're going to take medicine and go to LifeNet, which is a mental health facility that's in conjunction with the bridge, so that they'll put you in an apartment complex, or you're going to apply with HUD in order to get what you need as far as an apartment. Outside of that, you're there, and you have to service yourself.
So there are already stipulations in place for services. If you want this, then you must do this. Yes, ma'am. And I know that you've had issues with that because you refuse to take medication even for your sinuses. But certainly not for any mental condition that you're going to concede that you have, even though maybe you don't think you have, just so you can get services. And I think if we already have a model of a stipulation for services, then why don't we make that stipulation something that's going to make downtown dwellers and people who have to be in the same space with homeless people, make them happy, so that at least we can all coexist together. Right. And then you can address those other issues. I mean, because I think we have to figure out a way in downtown areas, and if, especially for our library or any other public space that's always going to have homeless individuals, is how do we make the two work without necessarily having to solve everyone's life problems. When a house person comes to their door, I don't have to worry about solving their life's problems. I don't have to worry about their mental health issues or their childcare issues or their drug habits. I don't know that the guy who put, you know, I'm sure people who work here, people who come here regularly probably smoke pot. They probably drink alcohol. They could be alcoholics, but we don't delve into that part of them. And that's not even our business. But when they're homeless, all of a sudden their mental health issues, their drug abuse issues, their alcoholism, everyone's problem. Oh, well, he's an alcoholic. Oh, well, he's a drug addict. Those shouldn't be our issues. We only make them our issues because of other superficial issues that seem to be in conflict with what we want to walk by and sit next to.
I'm accepting.
Can we do that? Can we just...
I mean, I'm accepting. I mean, I have to say it like this. Specifically, me accepting who I am as well as accepting who others are, I have to share that. That's what I do. I have to share that. Let's be nurturing and kind, because I would want somebody to be nurturing and kind regardless of my status or state. And I think that's the best thing for anybody ever to do. It's biblical too. Do that. Be nurturing and kind to people. Don't treat them like crap because you feel like that's how you should treat somebody.
Well, Larry James says it in his episode. He said, charity's not the solution. Friendship is, and justice is. Friendship. And I don't think we normally go to that mentally. Think, oh, maybe the solution here is fellowship, camaraderie, friendship, empathy, connection. And that's the most basic thing we can do. And I don't think it happens enough.
Thank you to the library for fulfilling that role. And I only wish other entities of Dallas would do the same. That's all. I mean, at this point, I think that's all we can do, Jazz, is be us, hope that individuals will take on the traits that we have. Because, I mean, like I said, the shelter is just another society. I can pick up maladaptive traits over there, but I can pick up positive ones too. So that's, and I'm hoping, like I said, other entities, businesses in Dallas will pick up the traits of the library and say, you know what, let's treat them as comrades. Let's treat them as friends. And not them, but, you know, everybody.
One of the things about the show that never really came to fruition, and I feel pretty bad about it, is Rashad's word of the day. So when I say Rashad's word of the day, our listeners have no idea what I'm talking about, because unfortunately in the editing process, Ryan and I have had to make some hard decisions.
Some hard decisions, Mom.
And unfortunately, Rashad's word of the day never made the final cuts of any of our episodes. But Rashad is a man of many words. He's got an immense vocabulary, partially from his time in prison and the time he chose to dedicate to learning vocabulary and teaching other people new vocabulary.
I did. I was locked up, and I would get up, and I would, early in the morning, I'd get up and I'd take a dictionary and I'd pick out 12 words out of the dictionary that I did not know. I'd study them. I'd study the definitions real, real tough, get them in my head. Boom. And since I'm up early and everybody is, you know, we ain't got to get up no specific time. So I write them down and I stick them on a mantle. And I say, man, if you can tell me what that word means, I will give you a Jolly Rancher. And what then happens is, in their effort to define the word, I had to get a memory about what the word means. And so some dudes was like, man, you trying to make a fool of me. It's like, no. And one guy, I never forget this, one of my words was goblet. And he said, I'm trying to think, man, it was a movie I was watching. He said, pass me the goblet. I guess it was King Arthur in the Round Table or something like that. And he says, a goblet, that's a cup. And I said, yeah, man, here's your Jolly Rancher. And I generally would give it to individuals. One of the things I learned this semester that just passed, shout out to Derek Payne, man. Derek Payne, A100, like, best teacher, speech teacher ever in the world, man. One of the things I learned was that your words create your actions, and your actions, your habits, and your habits, your character. So when you select a set of words, the words that you use will define what type of person or what type of character you have as a person. So I would every show give a word of the day. And I think I made Jasmine mad when I used the word crazy. And she was like, crazy? That's not applicable, Rashad. You can't do that. And I'm like, Jasmine, this is what it means.
In my defense... First of all, I don't like the word crazy. I don't think it should be in any of our vocabularies. But
sorry, it's in a dictionary. I'm sorry.
In my defense, it was the definition. It was a weird definition, and I didn't think it really communicated well. And in the future episodes, because I think that was the first one, the future episodes, the word of the day was kind of thrown in there at the end because you wouldn't remember, and it would be like, oh, well, let's do the word of the day. So anyway, I would like to redeem myself today and give you an opportunity, and I promise it will be in the final episode, to give us a word of the day. Take your time to think about a good one that might apply to this episode, to the series, to something. I'm going to edit all of this chatter out because I want you to really think about it, Rashad.
And, you know, we could go back to all those old episodes and pull out the words.
No,
today.
We can't.
Raw files do exist.
Wait, well, let's see if we can remember. It was crazy. There was assertive. There was illicit. Yeah, then you made me come up with one on the spot, which I'm not good at. And then it was destiny. We talked about destiny.
Word of the day.
And then there was one episode where you were like, I'm not going to give a word of the day today. And then I cut that out. Can I give you one?
Please.
Fellowship. Okay, so when I first heard the word fellowship, I associated it with religion. Because that's where I normally heard it, is fellowship. Your congregation, church, you have your fellowship. And you know me and religion, I didn't like the word. Because it was like, why has it got to be religious? You know, why are we all coming together having a good time? Why does it have to be a religious thing? But fellowship doesn't have to be religious. It can just be good energy, good vibes, people coming together. And when you can establish fellowship among people, that's amazing. And that's life changing. And I mean, I think we have strong fellowship here today and together for this series.
You took my swag. I'm mad at you. You didn't let me do a word of the day, but I like that word. And you're right. You're absolutely
right. You can
right.
Still do a word of the day. I can cut all of that out. Like I'm that good one. At cutting out parts of
yes,
episodes.
You are very great. I like it. I want it to stay.
I think it's up in the air how this series will continue, if it will evolve, if it will live as it is and not continue. But I think we want to hear from the people. I think you're right, Rashad. I think if people want to hear more, or if they have ideas of what they want to hear on this show, I want them to either leave a comment on streetviewpodcast.com or email us at streetviewpodcast@gmail.com, facebook.com/streetviewpodcast.
Is it worth it, y'all? Is it really worth it? I mean, because, again, I could continue on. We could continue making the podcast. Or you could say, well, we want you to just... do your thing. Worry about you. Don't worry about us, which is what got us into the same mind frame. Einstein said it best when he said, we cannot get ourselves out of the problem that we got into with the same set of thinking. So I could voice the opinion of the homeless for you. And if you really want to fix the situation in your understanding, then I could continue to do it. But is it worth it? Are you listening? And are you willing to be objective in a solution? Otherwise, just, you know, just let me know what's happening. Because, you know, hey, man, I want a Jeep and a boxer and an apartment.
Also, if you have any of those items, please email us at cvpodcast@gmail.com and we will connect you with Rashad.
Let's end this thing, man. I got to use the bathroom. Let me pray. Father God of heaven, you who gives us patience, you who is persistent in loving us far beyond our own understanding and teaches us about our personality. We learn new things because you allow us to. We walk, talk, and breathe because you allow us to. And thank you. Thank you for your time and your energy here in this place at this time. And whenever we leave here, let's ask or let's walk together with you, God, living on the world, in the world with you, trying to bless somebody else's game because, you know, you bless ours. So thank you for all of that you have done. And let Jesus Christ be glorified. Hallelujah. Amen.
That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Street View. You can visit us online at streetviewpodcast.com. Tune us in again next time for more discussion.